And our thoughts for today are based upon Psalm 66. And we're going to be looking at that section by section in just a little bit, in just a few moments. But our theme for today is shout for joy to God. You know, as I mentioned to the children, when you're at a game, a hockey game, and all of a sudden the hometown team scores, there is an excitement in the air, isn't there? Especially if it's been a close game. Or even more so, if they've come from behind and now they're pulling ahead, there's excitement that is there. There's kind of a joy that fills the air. You know, you see that different places and different circumstances. One thing I like to do, and it's probably a strange thing for a lot of people, but my major in university was political science, so I enjoy watching election returns. You might say, that's boring. That's not what I'd like to do. So I stayed up and I watched the American one in November, and I watched the British Columbia one here just a few weeks ago. And it's always interesting when they show the auditoriums where the different parties are gathered, and you can kind of see an excitement that's there, and maybe the other one's not so much excitement, and you're kind of watching that, and then if things turn, how that excitement seems to dissipate and maybe go to the other side or so on. We still don't have that in British Columbia yet. They're not done with the recount yet, so I don't think anyone is, too many people are too excited yet, either side yet. Maybe in a few days, one or the other will be excited on that. But you know, you and I, as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, we have a lot to be excited about. When we recall, when we remember all that God has done for us. When we stop and we think all about God and what He is doing for us today. Or when we think about all that God has promised us yet for the future. You know, we stop and we take time to really think about those things, we have reason to shout out for joy. To shout for joy to God, because we have an abundant reason to do so. We have ample reason to do so. And when we do that in fear and respect, and we do it in love and thanksgiving. Now, first of all, we're going to look at in fear and respect. You know, our God is an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He's an astounding God. And the psalmist knew this. And so in verses 1 to 4, the psalmist writes the following. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you. And sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. You catch what the psalmist is saying there? Our God is so great. He is so amazing. He is so awesome that who is invited to bring Him praise? What does it say? All the earth. Repeat it twice. And it's a reference not just to people everywhere. It's a reference to creation itself. Do the mountains praise God? Yes, they do. Does the ocean praise God? In its way, it does. All creation has this invitation to praise God because He is such a great God. And as we look out and we see what God has done, and not just in creation, but see what He's done also in our own lives, we have reason to give Him our praise. How many of you have been to a zoo within the last few years? You know, it's always interesting. I don't go to the zoo often, but we go every once in a while to, if we happen to be in a different city and there's a zoo, we might stop in to see that. And you know what's interesting is you can go through the zoo and there's an enclosure where maybe there are some deer and antelope. You see a lot of people watching the deer and antelope? Not usually. And then you might go to the monkey cage and, you know, who likes to see the monkeys? Usually it's people with children. The children like to see the monkeys, so they're there watching the monkeys. And then you go through the maybe if they have a bird section. Last time I went to the Bronx Zoo about a year and a half ago, there was a nice big bird section. You know how many people were in there? Not a whole lot. But you know when you come to the gorillas, or you come to the lions, or the tigers. You get lots of people like to see those things. You ever stop and wonder, why is that? Why is it that somehow we're drawn to these creatures that are maybe bigger, faster, stronger than we are? Why do you think that might be? You know what I think it is? I think we like to know that there are things out there that are powerful. There are things out there that are even stronger than us, whether it's to be aware of them, to have a healthy fear of them. But somehow we're intrigued and we're drawn to watch them. But who's the strongest of all? Who's the greatest of all? It's God. And so we should just stand in awe, just stand in amazement, stand in wonder of who God is and what God has done for us. And you know, each and every time we look out and we see nature, whether it's some of the beautiful flowers that are blossoming about a month later than they should be, but they're still blossoming, or whether it is the mountains, or you're standing by the seashore, and you just see this amazing work of God, we stand in awe of Him. And so we shout out with all of creation. We sing the glories of His name. And we say, how awesome are your deeds? How awesome is God's great power? In fact, it so overwhelms the psalmist that notice what he says in verses 5 to 7. Come, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we did rejoice in Him who rules by His might forever, who keeps His eyes, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. You know what he's saying here? Remember. 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 Don't forget. Remember and don't forget. And here he's speaking to the example of the people of Israel. He's saying to them, remember what God has done for you. Remember how God rescued you out of slavery in Egypt and how God led you through the Red Sea and then how He provided for you in the wilderness and then how God led you through the river into the Promised Land. Don't forget what God has done for you. They were to remember that. It could be easy for us to forget. It was easy for the Israelites to forget. And it's easy for us to forget what God has done for us. It's easy to forget how God has blessed us. It's easy to forget those times when God has been with us and given us the strength when we didn't think we had the strength that we needed. It's easy to forget the time that God was there to comfort us and to lift us up. It's easy to forget the time that God gave us some wisdom and guidance. Human nature, we just tend to sometimes forget those things. And so the psalmist says, remember. Remember. And it's good for all of us just to take the time to stop, to pause, to reflect, and to think about what God has done for us. And to remember that God is constantly keeping His eyes on watch on us, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. He's keeping watch over us. We need to remember that. And then to remember that He's always with us. Look at verses 8 through 12. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, and You have brought us out to a place of abundance. You know what God never promises you? God never promises to you that everything is going to go good in your life. But rather, He promises us that through thick and thin, through good or ill, He is always with us, and He is especially there in times of difficulty when we face those times. Are there times in your life, when it feels that your feet are going to slip? Are there times in your life when you're feeling tested? Are there times in your life when it feels like a crushing burden is on your back? Are there times when you feel like men are riding over your heads? Are there times when you feel like you're going through fire and water? Or is your life just one big picnic? Smooth sailing. No problems. No difficulties. Anyone have that? You know, we all have these times. But we need to remember, through it all, no matter what it was, or what it is, or what it will be, that God is with us. We need to remember those times in the past when we've gone through some difficult times, some hard times. We need to remember, hey, God was there with me to give me the strength I needed. And if you're going through a time like that right now, and some are, we need to remember we're not alone, but God is there with us to lift us up and give us His strength. And we need to remember that when, not if, because as long as you're alive on this earth, you're going to have some difficult times yet. But when those times come, you're not alone. God will be with you. And so we stand in awe of a God who is always with us, never to leave us, never to abandon us, never to forsake us. And in response to all of that, what do? We shout for joy in love and thanksgiving. Look at verse 13 to start out with. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fat and animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. So what do? We respond by offering to God of our time, of our talents, and of our treasures in service to Him. We look for ways in which we can bless others because God has blessed us. We look for ways to show the kindness and the love of God. We share with our time, with our financial resources, with our efforts to make a difference in this world, to make a difference in the lives of other people. There's one man who understood this, and his name was a neighbor of Mark Tidd. Mark Tidd and his wife were college students, and they said they moved into this neighborhood, and they moved into this little house, and they say one day an old man showed up at the back door of the house that they were renting, and he opened the door a few inches, and the man's eyes were kind of glassy, and his furrowed face was glistened with silver stubble, and he had a wicker basket in his hand filled with some kind of unappealing vegetables, and he offered us to buy some vegetables if we'd like to buy some. Kind of uneasy, he says, and so we quickly kind of, you know, bought some, and, you know, he left. Well, then he came back the next week, and he had more vegetables. It turns out he lived down the street. His name was Mr. Roth, and he lived in, not just down the street, he lived in the shack down the street. And he said, after our fear subsided, we began to realize his eyes were glassed over because he had cataracts, not because he had been drinking or doing something else. He just had a hard time seeing. And as we got to know him, he would stay a while, then he would pull out his harmonica, and he'd play some gospel songs on his harmonica. Then he says, on one visit, he exclaimed, you know, the Lord is so good to me. I came out of my shack this morning and I found a bag full of shoes and clothing on my porch. And Mark Tidd said, well, you know, that's wonderful. And he says, we're so happy for you. And he says, you know what's even more wonderful? I know someone who could really use these. You see, he knew he had been blessed by God. And so he used those blessings that had been given to him to also bless others. So that's one of the ways that we do that. We come into God's house and we give to Him and we give to others inside His house and outside of our house ways to bless them. And then we perform our vows to God. We make promises to God. Promises, and then we carry out through the Holy Spirit's power those promises that we have made to God. And then look what he says in verse 16. He says, come in here. all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. When you have exciting news, you share it. You're excited about it. And so the psalmist is excited about what God has done, and you can just hear that anticipation, that excitement in those words. Come and hear. You share what God has done. You share what God's doing in your life. You share with others the way that God has maybe helped you. God has blessed you. Now keep in mind, he says this right after the verses before, which talked about what? All the problems. You know what happens? People get problems, and people, when we get all kinds of problems and they come into our life, we can become very bitter. We can become very angry at life, at God. He didn't say, come and hear God, how God made my life easy. Come and hear how God didn't give me any problems in my life. But come and hear what he's done for me, what he's done for my soul. And so even through all of those times when he felt like he was being crushed and weighed down and trampled upon, he knew God was with him through all of that. And what God had done for his soul. Not just his life. You know, life is not always easy. There are problems in life. There are challenges in life. There are difficulties. There are heartaches in life. But what he's done for my soul, my eternal well-being, what has he done for you? He sent Jesus for you, to live for you, to die for you, to rise for you. And so as Christians, we really have something to share, to tell people what God has done. We can say how God has got me through this problem, or God carried me through that difficulty. But above all, this is what God has done for me in Jesus. And so we respond. Verse 17, I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. Praising God. Just saying, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. And a heart filled with thanks. God has truly listened. Or if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So he has a repentant attitude here. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. You know, God listens to you. God listens when you call out to him through a time of difficulty. God listens when you call out to him with words of praise. He listens. He listens. And he doesn't reject your prayer. And he does not remove his steadfast love from me. A lot of things might come and go in your life. God will not keep you from every problem that's going to come into your life. He will not keep difficulty from coming into your life. But one thing will never be missing, and that is his steadfast love. The psalmist knew that. And so he can give to God his praise. Do you have reason to praise God? Even if you're going through a difficult time right now, all of us have reason to praise God because of what he is doing for us, how he's carrying us, and what he has done that we might have an eternity, an eternal life with him because of what he's done for our soul in and through Jesus. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace which comes through knowing that God is with you all the time, may the peace which comes from within your heart because Jesus is there with you, may it move you to shout out with praise, thank you, God, thank you, Lord, praise you, Lord, for everything you're doing in my life, for all that you've done in the past, and for what I know you will yet do in the future because you have promised it. In your name, amen.